Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Some secrets are kept in the basement. Others in the morgue. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
The other overarching piece of the Karen Reed case that puts, I think, and enables a lot of the dismissal of a lot of evidence or the playing down or the possibility that maybe there's something else going on here. It's one man, Michael Proctor, and he's having his disciplinary hearing or pretty much the probably dismissal hearing coming up this week. And hopefully he's done. Hopefully it's not like, well, we'll give you something else to do. I can't imagine you want this man in any way, shape, or form associated with law enforcement, no matter what side you're on. It's just not a good look. It's not going to help.
A piece
anybody.
Of shit.
Not
That's not
help
who
anybody.
You want as cops.
But inevitably,
you don't want douchebags like that being cops. Like, the guy's just a tool, man.
But inevitably. You know,
exactly what you said. I don't give a shit what side you're on.
You
that guy's
want
a
there.
Fucking turd.
And he's not going to be a big help for the state. He certainly was a help for the prosecution. And he's, I'm sure, going to be called up again. And he's going to go through the... Hey, let's read your texts again, because that was real comfortable the first time around. And yeah, I mean, it really paints a picture. And then you also look at the other cases he's been involved in. I'm sure a lot of these will not be allowed into the Karen Reed case. But Sandra Birchmore, there's a lot of question there. He was at the beginning of that case, a case that was ruled a suicide, which clearly shouldn't have been. But he was part of that whole thing. There's other cases, too, which are shocking that we follow, that his name pops up. Brian Walsh, I don't really see a whole lot of
Brian Walsh. I mean, I think he was periphery on that one, but yeah, dude.
But there's others, too, that have been long and settled. Miles King, Sean Johnson, there's some others as well where they're going to take a look back and go, was there some sort of bias going on here? Because this seems to be how this guy operated. Obviously, we were just finding all this out. We didn't even know half of it when the Karen Reed trial part one was going on. And that kind of sparked the look into him and the investigation into him. Round two, it's all out there in the open that we know about Michael Proctor. How do you think that's going to affect a jury round two now that, we got the full story on Proctor this time?
It's so intertwined with the conspiracy theory that I think that it's going to land the same way. You know, like I just think it's going to be impossible to get 12 jurors on there to buy that entire theory. And the way that they're working Proctor, as opposed to the way that I like that you worked it, which was a bias that he just formed tunnel vision, as opposed to him being a giant piece of shit who's, you know, buddies with the Alberts and is doing their bidding, because those are two different things. One, you're talking about just a cop who forms tunnel vision and, you know, and he thought Karen was a piece of shit. So, like, that was it. It was open and shut for him. That's a different thing than him doing some really bad shit that cops should never do in terms of planting evidence and things like that. You know, those are two completely different things. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah. I mean, it depends on how the defense goes. And if their intent is to continue to, and you can be assured that Brennan's going to be attacking that third party culprit. I'm assuming that's next on the list, but time is short. They were already concerned with when they were going to fit in the Green hearing, you know, because April is court. April is trial. So like in that'll be here in the blink of an eye. So, I mean, if Brennan's intent is to try to keep up that third party culprit defense and he thinks he can do it more effectively, I mean, to me, it's going to be res judicata, which means that the issue's already been decided. You know, I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a way that he can work around that, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't try to attack it in some way.
Without a Proctor issue, would the conspiracy theory be as effective as it is? And they are completely separate. There's nothing in the conspiracy that involves Proctor. That's a whole separate thing. But when you put that shade of darkness over this whole case, it starts to make the conspiracy look a lot more appealing. I'm wondering if this has been part of the strategy all along, knowing, look, we got Proctor shit here that's going to, you know, completely stain everything. If we come with this story of this, the dog bite, and there was a fight, it's going to have that much more weight because we're already going onto a sinking ship because of Proctor.
No. And the reason we know that, because remember that motion to dismiss, like before this case was on anybody's radar, when this was just like a potential, you know, DUI resulting in a homicide case, which happened quite a bit, right? Yeah. I mean, they're typically not worldwide cases. Yeah. Like, I mean, they happen in counties all over this country all the fucking time. So when they filed the motion to dismiss, they didn't have the TUI information.
True.
So you know what I'm saying? Like when that thing came out, like it was out for like that motion had been filed for a hot minute for months before anybody was like, whoa, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
And, you know, so they didn't have all that dirt on Proctor.
Yeah.
You know, so they were more leaning on the relationships, that there were these relationships. Canton's a small town, you know, Proctor's, he knows people, he's got friends. Yeah. It was kind of the intertwining of relationships and the fact that there were cops in that house. You're dealing with a Boston cop who's deceased. You know, it was that kind of that tangled web that I think led them to that. And then, you know, they were able to kind of build it. And then when they get the DOJ report, that was just for them the cherry on top, man. You know, I mean, that was just added fuel for them to really try to sell it. So the state just doesn't want him on because he's a fucking horrible human being.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he doesn't help you. He just makes all cops look bad.
He does. Yeah. He's a horrible representation of anything.
Right. No cop wants that guy on the stand. Like, I mean, he's cancerous. Like you just don't, like, no one wants him other than defense, but how much he helps in the scope. He didn't help. Like they heard it all, T.
Yeah.
They heard it all and they didn't get an NG.
No.
And if we're to believe, you know, we've heard about what the count was on the manslaughter, it was 9-3 as to guilt.
I think
from the defense side of it, you know, I think about this. I'm like, if you're on the defense side of it, Tony, like, and you, if you believe that that was the count, like what you must realize that you have to change something, right? Cause you got it all out there.
Yeah.
You put it all out there. Like, and if, and we now know that the Dr. Russell's testimony is going to be substantially similar. Like that wasn't compelling enough. Like clearly they didn't buy the Cellbrite shit or the Google search shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're the defense. What do you do? You got to change your shit up.
Each side is coming in with pretty much the same information for the most part, maybe remixed a little bit. And none of it is it's all about as clear as mud still. And will still be to a jury. I don't know how you don't end up with another hung jury on this, at least as of now, with what we're seeing.
I will be stunned if Brennan decides to take the Lally approach and do the pre-buttal case where he tried literally Lally. What he did for the first two and a half weeks of that trial was tried the defense's case. He got in front of it. Like he, because remember the ruling by Judge Bev, I believe, was that she was going to let them develop their third party culprit defense through cross-examination during the case in chief of the state. And if at the conclusion of the state's case in chief, she thought that they had developed enough evidence that there was a nexus, that it was worth bringing to the jury, that she would allow them to call witnesses and put on their defense as far as the third party culprit. What Lally decided to do was get in front of it all. He's like, I'm not going to let them call these witnesses. I'm going to get in front of it. I'm going to prep them. I'm going to put them all on. And I would be stunned if Brennan does the same thing.
Yeah.
Like if we don't see an attack by Brennan, it's because I don't think Brennan's going to, he's not going to even acknowledge that they exist.
Yeah.
He's not going to call any of them. He'll call whoever he needs to call just to talk about the fact that John O'Keefe, he's going to do exactly what they did at Delphi, which is you call up the witnesses and you're going to limit the scope of the direct examination to one question or two questions. Did John O'Keefe come to the house? No, nothing further.
Yeah.
And then when the defense tries to dig in, you know, she'll give him a little leeway, but they're not going to be able to get into all that shit, man. So like Brennan's going to, I would imagine that Brennan's going to have a very, very different approach to the state's case in chief because of Judge Bev's ruling, you know, like, I think ultimately they decided that that was a horrible technique. And I thought it was mildly interesting. It was an interesting way to try to get in front of it.
Yeah.
As opposed to like allowing the defense to put that shit all out there because the state goes first.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times if you don't feel that you have a super compelling case as the state, you know, because like as defense attorneys, we're like, oh man, the state gets to tell their story first. And you're always worried that the judge is going to form their opinion based on the state. So you're always telling the jury during your opening statements, please wait, like hear them out, but please wait and then hear us out, you know, because you're always concerned about that. So yeah, we'll see how it goes, man. It's like, it's one of those cases that's, you know, it's why I love trials, man. They're fascinating. It's the human condition. It's fucking crazy.
It's like we're repeating last year, though. We were having this exact same conversation around this time
it's
last
gonna
year.
It's going to be a very different trial,
It will be. Yeah. And buckle up. Here it comes.
Yep.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.